Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, the biggest conversation, the biggest story in gaming continues to unfold. And you were away yesterday. You were on your lunch enjoying a little sandwich when things kicked off. So me and Rich did the initial reaction video yesterday to Microsoft buying, well, they bought ZeniMax and buying Bethesda and all the IPs, all the games that that includes. There is some more information in regards to how that affects PS5 exclusivity and in regards to a game-by-game basis. What was your initial reaction to this stuff? And then I'll break down some info.
Dude, I was like that community episode, you know, when Troy goes out and he comes in with like the pizza and everything's on fire. That's how I felt.
Just
I went away for 20 minutes, and I came back and the biggest gaming news of the year dropped, you know what I mean? Like, it was obviously a lot to take in. But, you know, as a kind of fan, as someone who buys into, you know, the whole idea of consoles and stuff, this has made me want to get an Xbox Series X. I'm going to have to buy one now. I was on the fence before, but now they've got all of these franchises, you know. For me, the biggies aren't even necessarily Fallout and Elder Scrolls, even though I love them. Like, some of my favorite games of the generation have been Bethesda published, you know what I mean? They've been Prey, they've been The Evil Within 2. And knowing that those franchises and those studios are now under the Xbox banner, like, it's a strong buy. $8 billion almost is almost unfathomable to think about, you know, almost double Star Wars. I mean, I don't know, there is excitement there, obviously, but there's also, you know, a lot of confusion over what the hell happens with the games that Bethesda has already announced. Like, will they continue to be exclusive to Xbox machines and the Xbox family, or will they be able to publish across PlayStation as well and PC like they did with Minecraft? Because the press release was a bit vague on that front, I thought.
So there's more info over on the Bloomberg report. This is the thing that Jason Schreier put together over on Bloomberg, which he managed to get, I don't know, 30 seconds ahead of Phil Spencer and Xbox putting it out on Twitter. So the big one of the biggest things is that everything will come to Game Pass day one. One of the new games that's confirmed for that is Starfield, which is mentioned in the Bloomberg report. So even if Starfield becomes exclusive, like, you know that you're going to get it day one if you're on Xbox. They also said Bethesda are retaining publishing rights, so they'll still be in charge of doing the publishing stuff like they were before. That was always the case when they were underneath ZeniMax. One of the biggest things, though, is Phil Spencer said to Bloomberg that he said that we'll be taking on other consoles on a case-by-case basis. Now that's outside of Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo. Both of those are going to remain timed exclusives, but we don't know how long for. The assumption is a year, because it tends to be 1 year for timed exclusives, whether it's Rise of the Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy 16, or whatever. But I would then assume that because of the deal that they've made, they can maybe squeeze that down and be like, well, PS5 can have it for like 6 months or something like that.
Well, this is the thing that sort of completely undermined Sony. You know, like, Sony came out with Deathloop in particular, being like, look, we're partnering with Bethesda, we've got this game on a timed exclusive. Like, Deathloop was one of my most anticipated PS5 games. And now kind of like all that's been overshadowed because Microsoft has just bought ZeniMax and Bethesda, and it's kind of like, well, what's going on with this game? You know, I don't know whether they're going to be able to like squeeze or kind of like, you know, minimize the timed exclusivity, because I imagine they're going to have to either honor that deal or buy it out in some way. Maybe they give Sony like some money just to buy out of that contract or whatever. So I feel like,
but if Sony and Microsoft do a deal, that would just be ridiculous.
Well, they're going to have to interact now because these deals have already been inked, you know what I mean? But, you know, those games are going to be exclusive to PS5. But my big wonder is this going to change how Sony approaches and markets them? Like I said, they really push watch Deathloop at the past couple of events, are they going to try to minimize like that relationship now? Are they not going to want to put a bunch of effort or a bunch of money behind it? Because they're like, well, what's the point of, you know, publishing this one game when the entire company is so tied to Microsoft now?
True. Yeah, like you said, that's Deathloop's been front and center of their sort of rollout for PS5 games. Like, it was at the latest showcase, it was on at the one before that in the summer. And I don't know, it depends how sort of how personally Sony's like brand department takes this stuff. Because yeah, like, you know, if they want to crunch the figures on it, they're only, you know, benefiting Bethesda, which benefits Microsoft. So yeah, they might want to start focusing on something else. It is worth throwing in here that Imran Khan, like Game Informer / Kind of Funny's Imran Khan, tweeted out that Sony had been negotiating timed exclusivity on Starfield as recently as a few months ago, and he says I'm gonna guess that those talks are done, or that the price suddenly went way up. And then, I mean, maybe there was a back and forth between Sony and Microsoft, and Microsoft eventually coughed up enough cash to make this thing work. But overall, like, it does seem like, I mean, especially on Phil Spencer's side, and if you look at, like you said, the official announcement from Pete Hines, they don't really clarify cross-platform stuff. Like, Phil Spencer is just saying it'll be a case-by-case basis, and he said, like, he mentioned to CNBC as well, that, you know, we will honor the deals that are in place, but all that refers to is Deathloop and Ghostwire. After that, it's all open. Although, because they mentioned Starfield coming to Game Pass, like, that could be one of the first new games alongside Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 5, whatever, that is just Xbox exclusive.
Totally. I mean, like, that's the biggest
question.
Would be
crazy.
Because, there was one of those little wrinkles in there where they were saying, you know, Bethesda will, publish a select few games. And you can imagine they're going to publish their Bethesda software games. You know what I mean? That makes the most sense to me. That isn't confirmed, but obviously that would include Starfield, Fallout, The Elder Scrolls. So I wonder if there is a wrinkle in the deal somewhere that says...
Does that maybe just mean PC versions, though?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Will that just... Because it would go to PC anyway, but like, it's so unclear. I need more answers, because theoretically, you know, with that phrasing, that they could come to PlayStation, but that would make no sense on Microsoft's part. Not really. I know they've published things on PlayStation before, like Minecraft, but Minecraft already was a built-in thing. That wasn't a new game on the horizon. Yeah, you could argue that The Elder Scrolls and Fallout are built-in franchises, but... they're huge, man. Like, they're top sellers. Skyrim sold like, what, 20 million copies or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like, to have a game like that exclusive to your platform, you don't shell out $8 billion to not have that as an option.
Yeah. One thing I mentioned to you that was just in the madness of yesterday afternoon when we were figuring everything out is that you forget how tied Bethesda have been to Xbox before. Morrowind only came to the original Xbox in terms of console availability. Oblivion was on Xbox 360 for a year before it went to PS3. Like, you know, they have had this sort of history where, I mean, Todd Howard mentioned that in part of his press release stuff, that, like, you know, we've had this relationship to Xbox before. But maybe that's just the thing. Maybe they just prefer working with Microsoft, like, you know, because they're a Western company or something. Like, I don't know, but they've had examples of that beforehand. But yeah, I was saying in the reaction thing yesterday to Rich that you don't throw this much money at a deal. It's the second biggest acquisition in gaming history to not play that card, to not throw something on screen that says Elder Scrolls exclusive to Xbox or coming first to Xbox. I do think it would go against some of the Microsoft branding stuff to suddenly start tying everything down and go all out exclusive. But it depends on, you know, if they want to win the war, then maybe they just have to be like, well, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Doom are all only on Xbox and you have to come with us to play them. I think, like, that would be a bad move, but maybe.
So I'm not sure if it will be, you know what I mean? I feel like if this was Sony, we might be like, it's good for them, you know what I mean? I don't think it's entirely against what they've been saying, because they have been talking about this, you know, lack of exclusives between the console family, but they've always made it clear that it's in the console family. They're big on brands, they're big on IP, they're big on Microsoft-owned things. They wouldn't have bought all of those studios over the past 2 years if they weren't trying to push, you know, Microsoft-specific brands. It seems like when they're talking about exclusives, it's more between their own consoles rather than the entire market. Obviously, they are still open to that. But if you look at the slate of franchises they now own and the slate of studios they now own, they've sort of, you know, they've gone to Microsoft's big, deep cash pockets, asked them for some pocket money, and just started spending. And now I feel like they've got, like, honest, I can't believe it. I saw the map of studios that they have, and I was like, this is incredible. This makes me want to buy into the future of Xbox, you know what I mean? And yeah, they might have gotten it by just splashing cash, but it's worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have, I think it's 23 studios now. Obviously, it includes like Rare and Machine Games, and they just bought all these Bethesda studios and stuff. I wish they had current stuff. Like, I wish I didn't have to go, well, they've got all these studios for the future. They've had a lot of studios for a lot of time, and they've utterly wasted Rare for the vast majority of like 1.5 decades. Like, even Sea of Thieves has finally come into its own now, but was pretty naff at launch. And it's like, yeah, they've bought all these studios, but what are you going to do with them? Like, I get that you have the best hand in, you know, cards to play, but play it. Like, you've had years to play it. Like, if they were doing these moves like 2 years ago leading up to the Xbox Series X launch, then that would be insane. But I feel like they've got so much momentum now, like a month or 2 months before the console itself. And so, like, yeah, I'm glad that they're making moves, but I don't know why the hell it took them this long. And why we have yet another, you know, new generation where it's kind of just like, oh, well, in the future it'll get there. It's like, cool, but like, I'm about to drop half a granny on a console. I would like it if you had something for me to play. I was going to say, speaking of things that got tweeted out, Obsidian teased Fallout New Vegas 2, only in as much as doing one of these emojis, doing one of these collections of symbols when a fan asked them, like, hey, but does this mean that we can do a New Vegas 2? Because now Obsidian in Exile, who were some of the original Black Isle people, the people that made the original Fallout games, are part of In Exile, who were bought by Microsoft. Obsidian were then bought by Microsoft, and Bethesda are now bought by Microsoft. Someone tweeted Obsidian saying, hey, can we finally do New Vegas 2? Because all those IPs and staff and people are all in the same place. And Obsidian's response was to go, I don't know, maybe. Which isn't a no, Josh Brown.
It's not a no. And you know what, Scott? I've been going backwards and forwards on this, because when I first, you know, saw that tweet, I was like, yes, New Vegas 2, this is what I want. New Vegas is one of my favorite games of all time, if not my favorite game of all time. And I want another Obsidian
developed Far Cry 2, mate.
Fallout. Well, Far Cry 2 is up there. It's top five dead or alive, but, you know, not quite there. But I say this. However, at the same time, Obsidian have finally gotten this, like, essentially promotion in the industry. They were bought by Microsoft. They could essentially have the budgets and the freedom, hopefully, to do whatever they want. I don't want to see them somehow go back into Bethesda's shadow, if that makes sense. I don't want to see them now just being handed off the scraps yet again and being told what to do. Like, that's not what how I want to see this studio grow, because they have so much potential. I want to see their original IP. I want to see them, you know, really expand and not necessarily continue to be in the shadow of that other more popular RPG maker. If that makes sense. I'm sure that wouldn't happen with just one game, but it's like, I don't know, there was a kind of double-edged blade to that for me.
I did think that, I mean, by virtue of Bethesda being acquired, like, it sort of, it quote-unquote minimizes them, it puts them in line with other acquisitions, other studios that have been bought up by the Microsoft umbrella that have sort of snatched people up. So in a way, I do think it puts them alongside Obsidian again. It sort of reminds you that, like, Bethesda aren't the top tier, they aren't the top of their own, you know, corporate ladder. Like, they are owned by people, they can be traded and bought. And, like, you know, someone like CDPR feels like they have more sort of sway in that regard, as opposed to Bethesda joining these guys alongside Obsidian. You would just, I don't know, hope for some sort of RPG, something in the future where you get all three logos, like In Exile, Obsidian, Bethesda, and then it's whatever the hell that is going forward. In that case, I would hope it's a new RPG. I would hope that they're bold enough to do something fresh and not just do, you know, another Elder Scrolls, another Fallout. But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below. Are you freaking out about the potential availability of your PS5 games? And how do you feel towards the Series X? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.